Instagram for local businesses. That's what we're talking about today on this episode of the Local Business Podcast. All right, Instagram is probably one of the biggest platforms that any local business can leverage to get new customers, get attention, build a community, and really grow sales. And Ben Levitt has done a great job kind of teaching people, not kind of, teaching people how to leverage Instagram and the giving us updates and what's working now and what's not working now and how to think better about Instagram. So I asked him to join me on the podcast today and we talk all about how to leverage Instagram and what's new and exciting on the platform. Before we get into the episode, I do have to say we probably spend the first 5 or 6 minutes talking about YouTube, even though the rest of the podcast is about Instagram. Ben has done a great job of building a following using YouTube videos. So maybe I should have him come on the podcast again in a future episode and talk about YouTube. But we do spend the first 5 or 6 minutes talking about YouTube and why YouTube is important. So if you're looking to this episode and you just want the Instagram info, fast forward a little bit till about the 6 minute mark and you'll start hearing us talk about Instagram. But if you're a local business owner or a marketer who markets for local businesses, you may want to listen to that first 4 or 5 minutes of YouTube because it's pretty fascinating. I asked him a bunch of questions about how he grew his following. And even though he has a really good following on Instagram and talks a lot about Instagram, he's really leveraged YouTube to grow that following. He has like 55,000 subscribers on YouTube doing these really easy, quick videos teaching people how to leverage Instagram. So go check those out as well. Also, last episode, I believe, we talked about our mastermind group. If you are a marketer or a local business owner and you want to work with or network with other marketers and local business owners, hit me up. Bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com is my email. We do have another podcast called the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast. That's why that email is that one. That is my main email. Message me or email me. You can message me at TheBruceIrving on Instagram and let me know if you'd be interested in that. We don't sell anything. There's no funnels. There's no upsells. There's nothing. We just network. We meet twice a month. We talk about marketing strategies that are working right now. There's a private Facebook group, a private website. We do have people come in and teach classes. But if you're listening to this podcast and you are a local business owner or a marketer for local businesses and you're not a huckster, message me or email me and we can set it up where you can join us inside of our mastermind group. All right, let's get into today's podcast with Ben Levitt, a little bit about YouTube and a lot about Instagram. All right, guys, welcome back to the podcast. My guest today is Ben Levitt. We're going to talk Instagram marketing for local businesses. Ben, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast, my friend.
Excited to talk to Instagram today. I'm excited to chop it up.
Let's do it. So I first found you on YouTube. You do a lot of YouTube videos. And for anybody listening to the podcast right here, go check out Ben's YouTube. We'll link it up in the show notes. But you do a lot of videos that are short. I love them. Short, to the point, you know, 10, 12, 13 minutes about how people can get better at Instagram. And there's a lot of local businesses listening to this podcast who I think could leverage Instagram better. But let's get into some tips. But before we get into the tips, like, give us a little bit of background. Like, how did you get started with Instagram and like, why Instagram for you?
For sure. So I got started in Instagram probably about 3-4 years ago. And it's very funny seeing as that's such a big part of my life now. When previously, when I was in high school, my girlfriend at the time tried to get me to get Instagram. And I'm like, oh, I don't know that stuff. I don't want to waste my time on it. So it's very funny to see how things come full circle. But I was in marketing with my major within university. And I was in the internship program. So I was working for a few different businesses while in school. And what I quickly saw going through the internships, so there was a major demand for social media, but we weren't getting taught it in school. So there's this weird disconnect where they assumed because we were going to school now that we'd be learning about social media, but then there wasn't actually anybody teaching us this. So then I really shifted emphasis, actually put a lot more to educating myself on Instagram and social media, more so than I spent in my own studies, because I saw that that was more of an opportunity, more of a blue ocean, if you will, to really provide value to the marketplace. So that's where it all got started. I saw a demand there. I was also deeply interested in, I was a time consumer of YouTube and Instagram content. And I saw these businesses, these business owners creating amazing businesses, brands, all this stuff strictly through the vehicle of social media. And there was nothing crazy about them. They didn't have tons of money to start off with. They didn't have a name behind them. So that really appealed to someone who dreams of my own. to see that I could create whatever I really wanted to with the time and effort and the vehicles of social media.
Nice. So you do a lot of YouTube videos too. Like what, so why you teach people about Instagram? So you leverage kind of two platforms, right? Cause you do Instagram, but you also do YouTube videos, and you've grown quite a following on YouTube. How long have you been at it on the YouTube channel?
For sure. So I've technically been on YouTube for about two and a half years. If you check from when the channel started, it might even be around three, but I'd say seriously for about a year and a half, a little bit more than that. Originally got started because of a very different dynamic. I tore my ACL while playing football.
Yeah.
And when I went to go look for videos there, there was just nothing of anything of substance. It was all pretty weak video. So I kind of viewed that as the world pushing me into the world of YouTube, and made some videos. And very quickly, I learned because I put the videos correctly. They got like hundreds of thousands of views.
Yeah.
So that was really the eye-opening moment to the demand that was here, the amount of people that weren't doing things the right way, and the opportunity there was to really educate people. And then I just started making videos about the stuff that I was really interested in when it came to social media, and then really resonated with people and really took off. So just kind of doubled down on those and became that guy.
Do you think people should use both Instagram and YouTube?
I think there is definitely ways and reasons to use each platform for different reasons. They're all different in terms of media consumption and what's actually on the platform and what works well. But I think in either a paid or an organic perspective, there is some sort of use case for any business to be on both.
Yeah. I think local business owners have a hard time figuring out YouTube. You know, I think they know how to maybe leverage Instagram a little easier, or at least they know or get it a little easier than they would YouTube. I think YouTube is way overwhelming to them.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. I think it's just because there's so many more barriers to entry, because you have to create, the film it, edit it, all that good stuff, which does obviously make it pretty scary and daunting to get into. But the one thing that I will say that YouTube has that Instagram never will is the long-term lifespan of content. On Instagram, it's about a few days max, which is seeing that you can learn and grow and try new things. But with the YouTube videos, if you make one good video and create it well and position it correctly, that could be bringing you customers for the next 5 years. That's not possible on Instagram. It's not really possible anywhere else. So that's why I'm a huge advocate of YouTube, because there's a lot more bang for buck if you do things correctly because of the long lifespan of content.
Yeah, I need to get into YouTube a little bit more. I don't do enough of that. I do a lot of podcasting and on social media, but I don't do a whole lot of YouTube. But you're right, there is a longevity aspect to YouTube that doesn't exist on any social media platform for that matter.
100%. Yeah, for sure. And that comes down to the fact that it's a search engine, right?
Yeah.
So it's engineered to get people what they want when they're looking for it. That degree of intent is also a huge, huge thing that people often overlook, is the vast majority of traffic that comes to your videos, they're coming with a high level of intent. So they're not just an average consumer. It's not just a base level or a random impression. This is a highly motivated person who wants what you're giving or selling or providing.
I knew I was going to have you come on the podcast to talk Instagram, and I knew we were going to get into YouTube, because I was like, I have so many questions about YouTube. I knew after talking to you and watching your videos, I'm like, I got to talk to this guy a little bit about YouTube as well. But let's get back to Instagram. So someone has an Instagram account. Like, has Instagram changed over the last 6 months or 12 months dramatically, or is it kind of the same it's been for the last year?
So I'd say that really depends in what you're talking about. I think when a lot of people say, has it changed, they think about like reach and the ability to track people. And I would say that's ever changing. But I would say the bigger change is the area of emphasis that Instagram is changing from the construction of the platform. They're making it far more e-commerce based. So they essentially, in the consumer's pathway, in many ways, an Instagram page has kind of replaced a website for a lot of situations. A lot of people start their consumer pathway with a search on Instagram and then go from there. And Instagram's really trying to double down on that, because if you can eliminate websites, that's just a whole other app for them to make money. So they've made a huge shift in terms of bringing the e-commerce side directly to Instagram and making that as smooth as a process as possible. So if you're a business owner, you now integrate shopping features within your Instagram page. So if you talk about a feature, service, whatever, you can actually have a link to it right there. Well, they can go in and purchase it from that. So I think that part of Instagram is dramatically changing, and I think it will only continue to go that way. But in terms of reach, it's always going to fluctuate based on what their priorities are. Reels is really important to them right now. For anybody who's unaware, it's their answer to TikTok. So it's vertical style videos, very short, punchy pieces of content. And they've seen the huge amounts of success that TikTok created with that kind of content. So they're putting a huge emphasis on it right now. which you can just go see if you go through as a consumer. They're providing so much real estate to Reels. So it's definitely a priority that I would say anyone get on there and start even playing around with it, because the viral potential there is unlike anything else on Instagram right now.
Yeah. And Instagram, Facebook owns Instagram. They're notorious for whatever new item they come out with, they push the crap out of it to everybody else. I think they did it with IGTV. They did it with Stories when Instagram first came with Stories. And now they're doing it with Reels. So one piece of advice I've noticed, and I'm not an Instagram expert by any means, is that when they come up with something new, try to leverage it the most you can for as long as you can.
Yes. You know, you're 100% right there. That's like kind of rule one whenever it pops on Instagram, get on it quickly. And the reason for that is because they want to normalize it. So the more people see it, they just become accustomed to it. And it's more likely that they'll start creating content because it's so normalized. A lot of people, the vast majority of people on Instagram are consumers, but they want, the goal of Instagram is to turn them into creators as well, because it just makes more of a consistency of people being on the platform and having invested in it too.
What are your thoughts on Reels so far? Have you used them a lot? Like, what do you think about them? They've been out for about, how long they've been out for? A couple months now?
Yeah, I'd say probably 2-3 months maybe. I'm a huge advocate of them. I've tried to use them with my personal brand and page a bit, and definitely on anybody's pages I've been running for them, like clients and things of that nature. Again, it really comes down to the fact that there is that viral potential that's not anywhere else. So I would rather have that lottery opportunity every single time, because there could be a huge return on that little bit of investment in making that content. I'll say from an actual creation point of view, it has a long way to go, and they are continuing to update it over time. But TikTok is still so far away from a video editor and a creation aspect that a lot of people are creating in TikTok and then posting Reels, just because it's not there yet. But they are continuing to update it and bring new features in all the time. So I think it'll get there pretty quickly, but it's still got some work to do for sure.
Yeah. So you're Ben Levitt on Instagram, and Levitt is LEAVITT. And then an underscore. So anybody out there listening to this right now, go follow Ben on Instagram. And I've put a couple. So I have two Instagram accounts, The Bruce Irving, which is like one that I kind of use to reach out to people, and my personal one that I don't use a ton. And then Smart Pizza Marketing, which is the main one that we use for our business and our other podcast. And we've put a couple of reels out there that have gotten 100, 150,000 views just by putting it with.
That's crazy.
Yeah, just by using reels. And it was just like nothing spectacular, not a spectacular video, but the reach just was unbelievable on those.
100%, and that's the key right there, right? It's the opportunity is there, and that can't be said to other avenues on the platform. So it's one of those things where you may as well go for it, because exactly what you said, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. And naturally, they're only like 15, 30 second videos. Yeah. It's not a ton of work.
What do hashtags still have as much power as they used to have?
So definitely. And then also on Reels, it's a huge thing, because there's not a ton of Reels content out there, comparatively speaking, to every other kind of content.
Yeah.
So if you rank in a, you can rank for a very long period of time. But with that, I would add one side note, is that you want to make sure that any hashtag that you're using on a Reels, you want to make sure that there's actually a Reels placement when you go view that tag. Because if you go see it and there's no Reels being displayed, you may be seeing an entire tag, but you're not even going to give you that. There's no opportunity to give you that placement. So I would say when formulating a strategy for Reels, ensure that there actually is a placement for that, so you're not just wasting an opportunity. And then when it comes to tags on regular content, I would say it's equally, if not more important today than it was even a while ago, because with reach from an organic perspective being dropped progressively over time, it's one of the only ways to attract new people in a targeted way for free to your content. So whenever people say, oh, I don't want to use tags, I always say you're missing out on an opportunity to come to you for free for a few different reasons. You're going to attract people to the actual piece of content, which can bring them to your page. Two, you also help tell Instagram what you are and who you're for. The easier you make their job, the more they're going to help you out. So by the consistently similar kinds of tags, they can more easily align you to what they think you are and who may like you. And then they're gonna have a better opportunity showing you to people who do like you and do enjoy your content. And that's gonna improve your conversion rate and help you to grow more and more over time. And it's gonna help you explore page is gonna help you grow exponentially.
So if I'm gonna use Reels, I wanna make sure whatever hashtags I use before I produce my reel or publish it, go search those hashtags and make sure that there are actual reels under that hashtag.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I would say is that when I typically advise people to do hashtag research, usually you want to stay in the more of the lower to medium tiers competition when you're a smaller page.
Yeah.
But with the nature of Reels is that there's not as many out there. So you might want to bump up your threshold a little bit more, because some smaller tags may not even have a Reels placement, which we were just talking about. So you may have to go a little bit more competitive, but the nature of it is there's not as many people supplying there. So you still have a pretty similar opportunity to rank there.
There you go. That's a good idea. I never really thought of it. I never searched. I put a couple of Reels out there and I've never searched the tags to go see if there was actual Reels. I just assumed that they would just be everywhere.
Yeah. Most of them will, but some of the ones that may be a little more niche or a little smaller, they may not have a Reels placement. I would say it's probably about what I've looked at, like 70-30 split. It's one of those where the few seconds of research may be worth it to not waste those few opportunities.
And is it still, you still putting 25 to 30 hashtags in every post, even at the Reels?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. It's one of those things where, and people just make things to sound, they know, some people don't, but some people will say that you get penalized for using 30 hashtags. That's just not the case. It's not the case whatsoever. And I view them as each one as an opportunity, and I'm going to take every opportunity that's put in front of me. So one of those things where I wouldn't die till 30.
So now let's get into a little bit of content. So, you know, for us, educators, podcasters, people who put out information to help, it's kind of easy to come up with content, because whatever ideas or questions you get asked, you can be like, hey, let me just create some sort of piece of content for that. But a business owner who's selling a product that may not be great for photos, like, how do they come up with ideas, or how do you teach people to come up with ideas on what to post for the feed and for stories?
Yeah, so I think stories can be a lot easier, because really, overthinking it, because this is really only going to your core audience, your inner tribe, because across the platform, on average, only about 10% of your followers see your story. That's just an average across Instagram. So these are going to be your core people. And the goal is to continue to grow your core people through them interacting and engaging with you. But really, I would say operate through that lens. This is an opportunity to nurture that relationship and make it deeper. It's not really attracting new people, so don't overthink it too much. Be you and be who you would if someone were to purchase from or come get a service from you, whatever it may be yourselves, because these people already know, like, and trust you to a degree because they're seeing your story. Stories are not going to be shown to new and random people. When it comes to creating content, say main feed content, I would also say don't overthink too much. Put different kinds of content out there. Like, you can talk about your service, you can talk about why it works, think about providing value. Another thing is, the more you can make your page unique point of value, the more people are going to follow it. So even if you're in a small town, maybe you become the place that provides updates on the small town and how it relates to business and things of that nature. Just constantly be thinking of ways that you can be unique and provide value to your potential customers. And that's going to help you to spread the word faster. And I would say always try to think of a brand personality, whether that's a person or maybe it's a culture that you guys establish within your business, and try to make that rain through. Oftentimes I'll say, well, does this feel like you? And if it doesn't, then maybe you don't want to post it. And a great way to figure out, like, strategically exactly what you want to post, is I always try creating content pillars. So what are a few things that you're always trying to represent from your business or your brand? So for my personal brand, it'd be education from perspective of social media and entrepreneurship. It would be empowerment. I'm always a big advocate of getting people off their butts and doing things, and then relatability. So those would be my three content pillars when it comes to my personal brand. So I know that there's so many different kinds of content, but if they associate with any of these three content pillars, they're definitely things that I want to post. And for categorizing, I'll literally just have a note in my phone of each of the pillars. So then whenever I have an idea, I have a place to dump it and then later create content or send it to my design team for them to put the idea in life and then put it out there.
Huh, that's interesting. So you think of it like three main subjects, and like there could be a whole bunch of subcategories under those three subjects.
Absolutely. I just love the grouping of those things, because it allows me to actually have a bit of a starting point when I'm thinking and I'm just going throughout my day, and a place to dump it, understanding that it definitely makes sense and it's aligned with my brand vision.
Now, I've noticed too, for stories, sometimes they'll get a lot of views, sometimes they won't get a lot of views. Is that solely based on like timing, or is it about like what happened on my last story, or how does Instagram determine when I'm going to show up on the top of people's feeds versus when I'm not?
Yeah, so that's a huge one too. And so many people will see such varying numbers in their stories, which is it honestly, it frustrates a lot of people, and they're wondering why, the exact question you're asking. There are tons of variables that go into this. A lot of them has to do with your history of posting. So if they know that you're someone who posts stories quite often,
yeah,
they're more likely to show stories because they want that to become part of some people's routine and them to come back looking for that story. So much of this stuff has to do with trust. So the more things that you do right in the eyes of Instagram, the more they're gonna trust you, the more they're gonna put you out there. So a lot of it has to do with consistency. And a lot of time people think, oh, if I post a lot of stories, I'm gonna bug people. Instagram loves people who feed the machine. So honestly, the times that you post the most stories is when you're gonna find the most amount of overall views and impressions. It's weird, it seems kind of counterintuitive, but it's how Instagram operates, it's how they make money, so they enjoy that. So that's one reason. Timing definitely does matter. And three, they're all taking real-time feedback for how the sample size that they have already shown your story to, how they resonate and how they react to it. So they're tracking the amount of time that's spent, how the person opted to go to the next story, or did they stay and click to watch the rest of the story? All those things are being tracked. And then given how well that performs based off your previous activity, that's going to dictate how many people they push it to or they don't, based on how they feel that it's maneuvering people's behavior on the platform. If it's making people get off Instagram, they're not show it to as many people because obviously that's not good for their end goal, which is keeping people on the platform longer, consuming more ads.
Huh. So should your goal for stories be to get people to continue to watch the story, or should it be to get feedback like a direct message or a reply or a poll, something like that?
Yeah, great question. So both of those things would be very good in the eyes of Instagram, because if they're spending a lot of time watching or rewatching your stories, that shows that they're very engaged. They're highly motivated to watch this content. And then the same is true if they're actually interacting and engaging with you. Okay. So if people are responding to a poll, answering a question, those are all great things in the eyes of Instagram. And another, building off what I said previously, is how Instagram shows your stories to about 10% of your audience. The more people that you can get to actually have an exchange with you, which could be in the form of replying to the story, interacting with a poll, whatever it may be, that shows a relationship. And all these indicators are tracked by Instagram. And this is the type of stuff that dictates how they view your relationship with that follower. If they see that you have had some of the dialogue, they're more likely to show your stories and your content moving forward because they think there's a genuine relationship there. And that's a huge, huge thing on social media and Instagram specifically.
Now, do you have a problem? So I have this problem. I feel like, you know, my days, like I do a lot of interviews. We work in the office. It's kind of boring. Like there's not a whole lot going on in my life when I'm at work to show people behind the scenes that I don't show people over and over and over again. Is it bad to keep showing people kind of the same stuff? Or how do you mix it up where you get, or how often should you show the same thing over and over and over again? I know Instagram or social media in general has a short memory span, but like how long should I wait before I show somebody the same thing I showed them already?
Yeah. So I think the difference is if you are different that day. So even if you're showing someone the same thing, first of all, one, people like to see the things that if people really resonate with something, they're going to resonate it with it again very short after. It's strange. Whereas like on YouTube, on Instagram, people go to the well because it continues to work. So when it comes to this stuff too, people, they like you, they know you. So if you show them something that's very, very similar, what's gonna make it different is how you feel that day, how you're approaching it that day. So I would say there isn't really too much unless that you feel that it's too much, and then it's gonna come through with how you're presenting it. But there's no golden rule of like, oh, I can't do this again, I can't do this again yesterday. What I would say is that it's a challenge to be creative, and how can you show something that you've done previously a little bit different that is another way for people to know, like, and try. And there's actually Gary Vee, I'm a huge fan of Gary Vee, and he always says document. You don't need to create, you need to document.
Yeah.
And that's what really resonates with people. And he just provided a video recently that really made it resonate with me. And it was that back in the day, there was a wrestler who had a bald spot in the same head as the same part of his head as him, and he became a fan because it was the same. And so I'm like, okay, now that makes sense, because he's just documenting the things that he goes through so that anybody else, they love to feel like they're in or they're in good. So that's a huge example of documenting whatever you do, because if people are doing similar, maybe they have similar challenges or likes, interests, etc., naturally they're gonna associate themselves far deeper with you and they're gonna feel a lot more connected.
I always second guess myself. I'm always like ready to post. I'm like, this is fucking boring. No one wants to watch this or look at this stuff. And I just delete it.
See, that's another thing that so many people run into, and that's why I adopted a rule, which was like the first take rule. So if there's something that I feel like I even want to post whatsoever,
yeah,
I literally just film it, and even throw up with what I'm speaking, I still just post it. Because that stuff's raw, it's organic, and so few people do that. Everything's so polished and so scripted that people are honestly shifting towards more of the opposite. They like that real organic stuff. So if you think it, record and post it, and it'll be funny because sometimes the stuff that you put the least amount of thought, effort or energy into resonates with people the most because it is that real stuff that people can resonate with.
Yeah. You know what? I just talked to somebody about this the other day. I don't know if it was in one of our groups or on a podcast where I said, you know, sometimes you, maybe it was, I was just talking to somebody in a meeting and I was telling them like, yeah. you, what you just said, kind of post more, right? Like, cause sometimes the things you think are going to be tank actually end up being pretty successful. And the things that I'm like, wow, this is going to do fantastic. Yeah. I'll post. And I'm like, tanks. Totally don't know what's going on in the world.
No, that's the way it goes. It's honestly the best and the worst thing. The market is the truth. And the market is the consumers on Instagram, right? Or any social media platform. How they interact with it and how they engage with it is going to dictate the drive and the length that it has in terms of reach. So it really comes down to how it resonates with them. And all of that stuff is tracked. So at the end of the day, good content is going to lead to growth. And it starts from there.
So you're saying just post more. Don't think about it too much. You know, let the audience tell you what they want to see and what they don't want to see.
I think experimenting is the best thing you can possibly do. And by doing it as much of it as possible, because of that short lifespan of post, you posted 2 days ago, unfortunately, people typically like forget about it, which is actually great for you because you can continue to experiment and let your audience and market tell you what resonates with them. And you can't figure out what you don't know until you figure that out. Right. So you can only do that through constantly throwing things against the wall and seeing what sticks.
Do you use any scheduling tools for anything or do you do everything right on the app itself?
So it really depends. For my stuff, I'll just post it right from the app because I have a week, but clients pages, things of that nature will typically schedule that out just because it could become a lot with how often they're posting. And then for that, I typically use Business Manager for phase. It's free now.
Yeah.
And then if you're looking for an all mobile one, I use AppFee, which is an app that randomly went away for a bit. They're coming back. Apparently they should be live within the next few weeks again. It's a huge benefit to that is that it's all on your phone. So it really depends how you like to do it. But Business Manager is completely free now. So it's a great option.
Is it, Instagram doesn't penalize you now for scheduling things out or has it ever?
No, it never really did. Obviously, they'll penalize for things like are bot-like or spammy. Yeah. But if you're just posting content on a consistent basis and you're not posting like 100 times a day from a scheduler, you're never going to run into issues. Where you will run into issues if it's performing unhuman-like behaviors on your behalf. So like actions like liking, commenting, DMing people. Instagram does not like that. That stuff actually all used to work about 2 or 3 years ago very, very well.
Yeah.
And it would grow pages easily, but now it's gotten to the point where they can detect that stuff and they can very easily penalize you for that based on the metrics that they're tracking. So definitely avoid any of that type of stuff.
How do you grow an Instagram page nowadays? I know a lot of people used to do the whole follow unfollow thing or searching out hashtags, but like how does one go about growing an Instagram account in today's world?
For sure. That's the $1 million question. And that's one of my favorite ones is that I still believe in follow unfollow, not in the gimmick ways that people typically do it. If you have no budget, I still think it's one of the best ways to start when you approach it from a real genuine perspective. You're looking to grow your initial tribe and it's not just a one-way benefit. You're also going to help them and connect them. So follow people in a very targeted way. So if you're a local business, you want them to actually potentially be customers because the follower only has value to you if they actually and purchase from you. So start from there and then go from interest levels too. So have they shown to follow and interact with similar types of content? Have they shown to engage with them? Then do that. And then another thing is that typically if you are a local business, the people who would be following you, they don't get a lot of engagement, praise, or support besides from their area immediate friend group. So simply dropping a comment, like from a genuine perspective saying, oh, that looks awesome, blah, 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 blah. That's very out of the norm and people really gravitate towards that because people like to be liked. So if you show interest in what they're doing, very naturally they're gonna connect, they're gonna come look at your page and word of mouth travels very, very fast. And it's these little things that doesn't sound like a lot, but that's stuff that gets brought up at a cocktail party or a dinner, right? Did you see this? Did you hear this? It took you 30 seconds to comment that. So I think that's a great place to start for free. And then it's all about content growing from there and remaining consistent. Because as we mentioned, Instagram loves people who feed the machine. So you want to make sure you're doing that as much as possible. And your goal is just to do things the right way, as consistent as possible, to develop that trust, because trust is established, to help you rank tags easy. And then the ultimate goal for a business, I get so fired up whenever we can get a business or someone's page to this level, is when you start getting the explore page, everything changes. Because that is what I always say, is like, that's the epitome of trust on Instagram, because they're showing you to new people. And that could make or break that person's viewing session, make them bounce or make them become a fan of yours. Yeah. So by them putting you on the explore, that is a huge testament to their level of trust with you. And that's only established through doing all the things we've talked about on a consistent basis. And once it happens, once you get on the explore, it's going to happen almost every single page because they now, every single post, because they now trust you.
Yeah. I've noticed that on Smart. If you go to our other Instagram account at Smart Pizza Marketing, we share a lot of customers and people on the other podcast photos, and you'll know when you hit the explore page, because all of a sudden you'll, if you get like, you know, 200 to 500 likes, all of a sudden we got a couple posts that have like 2,000.
Yes, exactly. And the goal is just get that as much as possible, because that's where you can get true exponential growth and real bang for your buck in terms of content.
Yeah. And that's when you get like the 20, 30, 40 followers per post. Whereas, you know, before you'd have to wait, you know, you may get a couple a day, but if you hit the explore page, a lot of people find you that don't know you.
Exactly, 100%. And what I would say that is, when that starts to happen, start to see if there's some commonalities between what your posts that have really done well, and think about how you can replicate that formula, because what's worked once is very likely to work again.
I love it. Ben, where can people go follow you or check you out or listen to your podcast if they want to go get some more information about you after this podcast is over?
For sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Thanks for listening. Hopefully you took some value from it. If you want to connect with me, the best place personally would probably be on Instagram, just benlevitt_. Feel free to send me a DM. I reply to everybody. If you want to learn, the best place would be to go to my YouTube channel, which is just Ben Levitt. And then the extension of that is my podcast called Project Passion, where I interview entrepreneurs and try to capture the secrets that allowed them to be successful.
Nice. And I found you, I believe I found you on your YouTube channel, and I definitely suggest people, and we'll link all everything Ben just mentioned, we'll link it up in the show notes for this episode. But I definitely go suggest, if you're looking to learn more about, this is a very brief overview of Instagram.
Of course.
And it was a great interview and a lot of good information. But if you want to go get some more details, go check out Ben's videos, because he does a lot of them on Instagram. Let me ask you one more question before I let you go here. How do you come up with your ideas for your YouTube videos?
Yeah, so that's a massive part of YouTube, is that I don't really create videos for the most part unless there's proven demand. So there's a bunch of different tools that allow us to take the data that's being fed to Google and YouTube and kind of work backwards from there. And that's typically how I structure all of my ideas. And then also I get a fair amount of DMs, and oftentimes I'll find consistencies in terms of what people are asking. That's pretty evident that that video is in demand and would bring some value, and then go from there.
So you basically just take the feedback from your people who watch and listen now and create content based on what they're asking for.
Very similar to that. Yeah. Like that's a huge part of it. And the other thing is actual like market research on YouTube. What else is out there? What performs really well for other people, like out of the norm for them? That's what I call a breakthrough video. So if you see a video that did very, very well for someone who's got a very small channel, it's very likely that that content is in very much in demand, and there's not a huge readily available supply from the big guys, meaning that you have an opportunity to kind of take some of that market share and grow from there.
One final question. I know I had said the last one was the final question.
Of course.
If you had to do it all over again today, what would you start with? Knowing what
YouTube,
you know.
For sure. Definitely YouTube. I just wish that I started earlier would have been amazing. I always say this, if I was like 2 or 3 years older and farther along in my life journey and got started on YouTube earlier, things just become easier because of the early mover's advantage.
Yep.
But I will always say that there's never not an opportunity to grow on YouTube or Instagram. There will always be an opportunity, because if that goes away, so too do the platforms. So the people who say like YouTube hates me, Instagram hates me, that's BS. That's a negative mindset. It's not true. You're just not doing things the right way, or you're not making things that provide people value. And it's so cliche. And that was something that was very, very difficult for me to understand. It was what the heck is value? Like, what does that even mean? The word's thrown out so much. But when that light bulb clicks and you understand that there has to be a purpose for the content, everything changes. Yes.
Well, this was a fascinating conversation. Everybody listening to this, go follow Ben Levitt on YouTube and Ben Levitt _ on Instagram. Ben, I appreciate it, man. Don't hang up, but thank you so much for taking the time and joining us and sharing all your knowledge on the podcast.
Thanks so much, Bruce. Really had a great time and appreciate it.
Well, thanks to Ben for joining me on the podcast. That was an interesting talk. I'm definitely going to hit Ben up again to have him join me for a whole YouTube episode because I'm fascinated by YouTube. I need to do a better job of leveraging YouTube for our podcast and for what we do to help local businesses. If you need our help, go to thebruceirving.com. You can sign up for our email list. You can message me on Instagram at thebruceirving. And also, we left all the show notes if you want to go check out Ben's Instagram or his website or YouTube channel. We linked all of that up in the show notes over at thebruceirving.com. And like I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, if you're interested in joining one of our mastermind groups, message me on Instagram at thebruceirving, or you can email me bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com. We're going to be starting up some new mastermind groups specifically for local business owners and marketers for local business. And it's going to be a great place to network, figure out what's working, learn some new marketing strategies, and just kind of talk to other business owners, because sometimes being a local business owner or a marketer is kind of a lonely place. There's a lot of alone time. No one else really knows the burden of being the owner, and it's good to be around, especially now where we can't go to conferences. It's good to be around other business owners who know what it's like to be in your shoes and can help you grow your business and motivate you on a monthly basis. So if that sounds like you, email me, bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com, or message me on Instagram at thebruceirving, and we will hook you up. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. We'll see you on next week's episode.